allow you to introduce yourself before handing over to the National Department to brief us on the proposed amendments on the Public Service Commission Amendment Bill that is currently, or that will become the responsibility of this committee to ensure that, that we follow the legal process as from the Western Cape side. So, members, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mireille Wenger. I'm an alternate on this committee. I'm standing in for Honourable Kibido.
Morning. I'm Leonard Max.
Good morning, Reverend Dorothy Akopi, member of this committee.
Kaya Mokata.
Good morning. My name is Renisha Naidu. I'm the Legal Services Representative from the Department of Public Service and Administration. I'll be presenting this bill to you.
Hi, I'm Karen Duplessis from the Office of the Public Service Commission.
Thank you very much. And just for the record, I have received an apology from Honourable Cathy Love-Skuffney from the Permanent Delegate from the Western Cape in the National Council of Provinces. I'm going to allow the members, the gentleman from the public, if you would like to introduce yourself for the record.
Is it? My name is Riyad Adamson. I'm from the Parliamentary Mountain Group.
Thank you very much. And the lady in the back, if you can just introduce yourself for the record.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. I'm Nam, and I'm from the Leader Government Businesses Office.
Thank you very much. All right, members, I'm going to give a handover to the department through the briefing, and after that, I'll allow you an ask questions. That's in order. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Good morning, colleagues, members of the committee, Chair. I'm here on behalf of the both of the Office of the Public Service Commission as well as the Department for Public Service and Administration. The reason I represent both is that this bill is currently a bill that regulates the Public Service Commission, but the bill was submitted to Parliament through the Minister of Public Service and Administration, so our department is supporting that process. Just a brief outline of the presentation. It's a very short amendment bill, and the presentation, therefore, is subsequently very short. Just to give you a brief background of what the OPSC does and what the role of the DPSA is, the objects of the bill, and to deal with the two clauses that, that basically are being amended. The introduction, I think I've alluded to the fact that the Public Service Commission is independent of the Department of Public Service, and it's an independent constitutional body regulated under Chapter 10 of the Constitution. The Public Service Commission Act basically regulates the operations of the Public Service Commission. And in this regard, these two amendments that we see before us are basically administrative amendments to deal with administrative issues in the Public Service Commission. They deal basically with two amendments, one being for a process to renew terms of office of commissioners, and the second amendment is to allow for the designation of a commissioner to act as a deputy, as a chairperson of the commission in the absence of a chair or a deputy chair. The bill was introduced, just by way of background of the process of the bill, it was introduced in the National Assembly in 2015. The National Assembly amended the bill and presented it to the amended bill now to the NCOP on the 14th of November. It was at the Select Committee yesterday, and it was presented there, and it's now being presented in the provinces on request. Just on the objects of the bill, I think it's important to note that Section 4 and Section 5 are the proposed clauses that are being amended. Section 4 basically is allowing for a process of renewal, and I think it's important to note that in terms of the constitution, if you look at clause 196.10, it basically provides for the renewal of the term of a commissioner. But the Public Service Commission Bill has never had a process in place to actually talk about or to guide such renewal. So the process currently being embarked on at the Public Service Commission is that a new advertisement process goes out and the whole process starts fresh. It's not technically a renewal. So while the same commissioner may be appointed, they are appointed through an appointment process started right at the beginning of a process. So what this amendment is going to do is going to allow an existing commissioner's term to be extended without open advertisement competition processes. But what it does do, it also requires that such, sorry, now I'm jumping to the next slide, but it requires that such amendment or such renewal of a term of a commissioner, of an existing commissioner, is still subject to the recommendation of the National Assembly or the Provincial Legislature, which is similar to the appointment mechanism, except that it's not open to everybody else. It's talking specifically about existing commissioners who may be renewed or may have their terms renewed for a period of 5 years. And that limitation of 5 years comes from the Constitution. So if an existing commissioner who's done a term of 5 years can be renewed for a further term of 5 years, and that's the maximum. So that's basically the renewal process for commissioners. The second amendment is on Section 5, and this talks to an acting appointment. So currently the Public Service Commission Act allows for a deputy chairperson to be appointed to act as the chairperson when the chairperson is either not in office, absent for whatever reason, or there's a vacancy in that position. So the deputy chair automatically or is appointed to act as the president. But what the bill or what the act doesn't provide for, and what the bill is seeking to address, is the fact that if there is no chairperson and no deputy chair, then there isn't a provision that allows somebody else to act as the chair. So this is the gap that this bill is seeking to address. And how it does that is that it says that the president, if there's a vacancy of the chair as well as the deputy chair, the president may appoint. And this is one of the amendments that were done in the National Assembly. The initial bill that was submitted to the National Assembly basically said the commissioners may elect amongst themselves as to who will act as the chair. But when it went to the National Assembly, they said it should actually be the president who appoints the chair, to an acting chair in the absence of both the chairperson and the commission. So that amendment has been factored in, and it's in the bill that currently sits in the NCOP. And that's basically the two administrative amendments that the bill seeks to address. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much for the presentation. Members, are there any questions? Honourable Wenger. Okay. Honourable Wenger.
Thank you, Chair. A question. I note in the bill itself it says that the proposal is that the renewal of the term of the commissioner is for one additional term only. I'd like to ask if there's a commissioner who served previously who didn't have the opportunity to be reappointed because there was no legislation in effect for that, would that person be eligible at a future date to serve a second term? Or is that not contemplated at the moment? So if the bill goes through, a commissioner could possibly serve two terms. Yeah, the term that they were appointed for and one additional term. But if a commissioner previously served one term and then had to resign, not resign, but completed their term, would they be able to apply again at a future date?
All right, members, are there any further questions in this round? Round.
So basically, if you look at Section 196.10 of the Constitution, it already places a limitation of a maximum of 10 years. So you can have a commissioner serve 5 years and a further 5 years. The further 5 years is either subject to a renewal process or into fresh appointment process, but the cap will remain 10 years.
questions, follow-ups? Well, in that case, if there's no further questions from the members, thank you very much for doing the briefing and for making the time to come and brief us. Pretty much straightforward. And there is, I don't know if you had an opportunity to have some coffee or tea, but if not, but you're more than welcome. Thank you. Members, could you please remain behind so that we can just finalize the administration? We obviously had now, we've received the briefing from the department, so now we need to discuss, firstly, with regards to the public hearings. We must first establish if we're going to have public hearings, or are we just going to have written comments on these amendments. If we decide to have public hearings, we need to determine the dates, and then as per the parliamentary program, and then also where and when we're going to do that. So I'm going to open the discussion now. Any proposals? Members, if I can kick off then, if there's no proposals. The amendments are straightforward, but I do believe that we have an obligation as a committee to allow public participation, and get a view from members of the public. So if we do public hearings, we can look at having one or two, make sure that it gets advertised as extensively as possible or as widely as possible to ensure that we get some written submissions as well. Do you agree with me? It's straightforward. Amendments, and it's more administratively. Member Wenger?
Chair, I'd like to concur with your sentiment that it's two amendments that are very straightforward, but I also agree that there is an obligation to have public participation. So I would then propose that there's one public hearing here at Parliament for cost considerations, but that it is, as you say, very broadly advertised so that members of the public can be as far as possible informed of these amendments, and then they can either come and give an oral submission or a written submission if they're unable to attend that public hearing.
Thank you very much. Honourable Gopi?
I'm not sure if we allowed even to use the free community papers. So that even those that can't afford to buy the papers, maybe we can use the free community papers also to advertise in them.
Okay, members, are there any further?
Chairman, yes, as you know that with any change of an act or both, it's an amendment bill, that public participation is sacrosanct. You can't get by any court action if it was brought in this and they claim there was no public participation. So we agreed there should be one. Now the only thing left is how many and when. Because public participation must be there. But how? Is it going to be 1 year? As Parliament, given the nature of this, you also look at what is the adverse impact on the Act if the bill goes through. So is it 1 year with an invitation for people either Viva Voce here or in writing. Submit. You know, this is the only outstanding. Honorable Gopian?
There was a suggestion from Member Winger, let's have 1 year, and but be advertised widely. That's why I was adding, maybe we must use community papers also. And even our constituency offices, we can blow it up and put it there for people to, and our office can also assist people to get the submission typed or whatever, the communities.
I just want to refer to the legal advisor and the senior committee coordinator from parliamentary process perspective. We are in order to go ahead as we are suggesting.
It's important to that question. The reason why I raise it again, because I heard we must just cover ourselves. If they say the one meeting is not, you know, appropriate or sufficient, it's just to cover or protect ourselves around this. And how we, if we decide on the one that we've got sufficient amplifiers, you know, to support but the noise is normally, it's disappointed to this, is very equipped to advise us accordingly.
Thank you, Advocate Max.
Chair, I'm pleased to hear the vote of confidence from my colleague. But maybe just to share the sentiment raised by Member Max as well as Member Kopi. Needless to say, the amendments sought to be introduced are relatively minor. It's about a term of office and about occupation of a chair. Nothing substantive in relation to the extent of the bill. Secondly, having said that, one cannot have a situation where the need for public participation is trivialized or in any way regarded as negligible. What then should be considered, and this is what I would suggest, is that there be public hearings or that there be public involvement. The suggestion raised to have one is certainly something which the committee can agree on, because one will have to then justify why the one and not maybe two, etc. Surely written submissions can be invited as well from throughout the province, and the administration can assist to identify those who may have a material interest in a bill of this nature, mindful of the kind of amendments sought to be introduced. So one should also consider the budget implications, because that's a material consideration in the equation as to when and how many public involvement opportunities one would like to provide to the community. So to the extent that I can make a suggestion, two hearings should suffice, as well as an extensive invitation for written submissions from relevant stakeholders.
So thank you for the legal advice and for the guidance. However, there wasn't a proposal from Member Wenger, which Member Gopi supported. So can we then, can I then put to you the proposal by Member Wenger that we have one public hearing in Cape Town and that we invite written submissions from all relevant or interested parties across the province.
No, I'm just uncomfortable with Cape Town. I'm fine with one, but Cape Town will alienate a number of people, especially from poor communities. If you can have another venue somewhere in a community, not necessarily in town. I don't have...
Do you have a proposal?
I don't know. I don't want to be biased to anyone, but any community to me, like Mitchell's Plain, like Khayelitsha, like Gugulethu, like Meyerbeek, any community of that sort, you are fine.
I'm a sole member winner's hand.
No, I think Honourable Magaswa has clarified. I was just wondering whether it was in the metro that he was objecting to or just the seat of parliament. So he clarified that for me, because 70% of the population does live within the metro, so I think it would be a good area for us. But that being said, where in the specific thing is then open to debate?
Something else I need to powers that in that said day we make a request to start at 11 directly after community development. If that's in order. Alright, so that's important. Alright, members, if there's no further business, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, I'm not going to do that.